Hi, I'm Jacob Reeves, a senior tax manager here in our Newport News office, and we are going to be going over some business provisions of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act here.
Hello, I'm Kevin Forget. I'm a tax manager in the Charleston office of Brown Edwards & Company. We are excited to be going over the business provisions of the One Big Beautiful Bill that was passed July 4th, 2025. As some refer to it as OB3, so we may or may not interchange how we're referring to the bill. But there's a ton of information in here.
And so now we're going to get into some provisions that are very specific to nonprofits and foundations, universities, and the like that the One Big Beautiful Bill Act did put in place from here. So for nonprofits, they really targeted the private universities and colleges. I think that's been a hot button issue we've heard about a lot this summer. And so they built some of that into this tax bill. So they are now changing the tax on the net investment income of endowment funds and trying to increase it for those private universities with very large endowment funds compared to how many students they have. So you can see that it's at 1.4% for endowment funds of $500,000 to $750,000 per student. And then it goes up to 4% for that next phase in range, and all the way up to 8% if they're over $2 million per student. It only applies to certain institutions, so they have to have at least 3,000 tuition-paying students during the last tax year. More than 50% of tuition-paying students have to be in the U.S., so we're not talking about these universities that are crossing borders and things like that a lot. And then they do have to have per student adjusted endowment of at least $500,000 for this to be applicable to them. And this does not apply to any state college or university. So it is purely your private institutions. And so what is a student adjusted endowment? That is taking the aggregate fair market value of the assets as determined last year, other than assets used directly in carrying out the institution's exempt purpose. So think your investment activities that are being used to fund research and scholarships, that you have assets just earning money in order for you to fund those purposes. So it's those assets that you're taking. To the extent that you've got a building with classrooms and the library and things like that on your property, those are directly serving your purpose. So we've got to talk about what assets we're looking at from that perspective. And so they are going to take that endowment and they're going to divide it by the number of students. The number of students is your daily average number of full-time students, and you do prorate your part-time students on a full-time equivalent basis. So if I'm only going for half credits, I count as half a student if I'm there for the entire year. So they're dividing that over anyone to figure out those phase and thresholds from that perspective. So they're not making it flat just on you have an endowment of $80 million, it's a per student. So they're sizing it for those larger universities.
So Jacob, you think that, and since this doesn't start until 2026, maybe it's the time to reconsider where your funds are sitting. Is you know, if you're going to obviously be above those thresholds and then have the increased tax, maybe it's time to get the board together and talk about different ways to use those funds. Does it need a capital improvement that can put it back into an asset carrying out the exempt purpose, maybe?
Yeah, and that's something where you may want to just start, if you have this endowment, it may change your strategy that you're going to start spending more of your endowment and start really focusing on more fundraising efforts or redirect how those fundraising efforts go and what they're going into. That you're probably not going to be able to spend your entire endowment because that's just not realistic for a university, that you're going to have to preserve that and some of that. And the good news is those rates did not go up to the level of for-profit income tax rates. They're still sitting at that preferred level. And then the other major thing they did for nonprofits is tax on excess compensation. So they did open it up that definition a little bit. So it's no longer the five highest compensated employees. It extended the definition to covered employees for any current employee beginning in 2017 if they were employed at that point. But this tax will apply starting in 2026. And it imposes a 21% tax on compensation exceeding $1 million to that individual. So they're targeting your high-level executives and things like that, where you're paying them what a public company would be paying them in the private sector.